As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Cuts in on the right foot. Launches a golazo!
It's time for Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
Tune in as Jason Longshore gives you insight and analysis on the beautiful game, including headlines from around the world of soccer.
Rebound! Score!
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight, brought to you by your local Ford dealer and brought to you in part by Michelob Ultra, official beer sponsor of FIFA World Cup 26.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Here's Jason Longshore.
Let's kick it. Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on a Thursday. And I feel like we should have like a record scratch and go into ATLians right about now. Because Thursdays, y'all know, is the intersection. And Noel White is here. What's up?
Indeed. And on, everybody. New music, but same old thing. We're going to keep it soccer focused to have a good time.
It's like when the flopped up on the Jetsons. That's how this is going to be all summer on Thursdays. But y'all have been on the AST train all week long. We're getting you ready for the World Cup. We're a week away. 1 week away. We will have a game in the books by this time next Thursday. Mexico and South Africa start the tournament at 3 o'clock next Thursday. But we got a lot of stuff to get to before we get there. And we will get some intersection crossover elements as well. There will be a random music question to start the second segment. We're going to get into some of your favorite kits this summer. Which ones are you going out and buying? Which ones do you want? And then all the other stuff that's coming out around the kits, the jackets, the fashion stuff, Jordan brand with Brazil, all this different stuff right now. I feel like they are trying to take all of my money at the moment.
Hey, mine and yours, too. I got two soccer goalie jerseys in a cart we'll talk about a little later.
Oh, you're going keeper jersey.
Oh, yeah, I'm excited. I love long-sleeve stuff. You should have never told me that goalies wear long-sleeve jerseys. I'm hyped.
Okay, I like this. We got some games to talk about from today as well before we get into what Noel needs to know about this summer. Because that's what's cool about a World Cup is we get brand-new fans every World Cup for this sport. I think if you talk to any hardcore soccer fan, they will start to tell you about the World Cup. They fell in love with the game. So we're going to get Noel to fall in love deeper with soccer this summer, and we're going to answer her questions here in just a second. But I wanted to catch you up on some of the results, because when we came into really this portion, so the end of May as all the regular seasons ended in the major leagues around Europe, I think we had a pretty good sense of where the power rankings fell coming into this World Cup. All that's getting turned on its head right now. The Netherlands losing to Algeria yesterday opened some eyes. Today, Cote d'Ivoire beats France 2-1. France was my favorite coming into the tournament, and they absolutely still can win the thing. But they lose to Cote d'Ivoire. Yes, France rotated a good bit. It was their warm-up match in Nantes. They lose 2-1. We'll talk about that. Spain, a 1-1 draw with Iraq. That's a shocker. 2-1 win for Ivory Coast is one thing over France. A 1-1 draw for Spain against Iraq is shocking. Sweden, they drew today as well with Greece, who's not even making it to the tournament. So all kinds of stuff to get into on the results. A lot of big teams are stumbling a bit. And I think if anything, and Noel, I know we're going to talk all summer a lot about the U.S. If anything, these results this week with the Dutch losing at home, with the French losing at home, with Spain drawing at home before they get here, should make you feel really good about the U.S. beating Senegal on Sunday 3-2.
Yeah, and those are, you know, some of my list of questions. Like, what did the U.S. against Senegal show you? Because for me, it got me hype for World Cup. I felt the bigness of the game. I was listening to it here on 92.9 The Game, which I think you'll be able to hear a lot of games this World Cup season.
If you hear Callum Williams call a game, yes, you will get excited. Callum is great. He has worked with Sporting Kansas City. He's worked in Minnesota United over the years. He's on Apple TV, on MLS, and he is a booming personality on the mic.
Yeah, man, you can hear it. You can tell. I was getting goosebumps listening to it in the car. I was like, man, I might be geared up to watch Team USA, but I want to know, like, what did the professional, what did Mr. Soccer America see when he saw U.S. versus Senegal?
Oh, you probably got to ask some people from New York or Chicago or Los Angeles if you're talking to Mr. Soccer America. But I'll take the Atlanta crown for now, at least. I saw a team that looked like what Maurizio Pochettino has wanted this team to look like. Aggressive, in your face, a team that didn't let you get comfortable. And, you know, we talk about, and I know we've had this conversation on The Intersection a lot over the year plus that the show's been going. There's so much synergy between soccer and basketball. And I think because of the transition nature of the sport, but what the U.S. is doing, I think what Pochettino wants them to do would be somewhere in the equivalent of a pressing basketball team. They want to make you sweat from when you pick up the ball all the way into the attacking third if they let you get there.
Yeah.
That's the thing about soccer is, like, the field position will change it a little bit. You might not get over midfield, whereas in basketball you're going to do that. But it's harassing you. And I think what they do is, you saw it in that first 20 to 25 minutes, they forced turnovers, they forced unexpected mistakes, and they got the ball back and they created goals out of it. If the U.S. can do that consistently, because just straight up talent, the U.S. is, I think, where the FIFA rankings have them, number 16 in the world. They're about that talented compared to the other teams in the world. But if you can add to the talent level you have with that tenacity, with that scrappiness, with that, okay, we're going to beat you with a bit of a scheme. You know, we're going to make it difficult for you. You can play better than your talent level is. Mm-hmm. And think about it in basketball. When we see teams really go to a press, it's because they're trying to make up a gap.
Yep.
So it's the same way. I think the U.S., when they can press effectively, they're going to be a really difficult team to beat because you hear the crowd get into it. You force that turnover. You win that tackle. You win the ball high up the field and create a shot. The crowd starts to roar. And then that creates the suffocating feeling for the opposition.
Yeah, if you can get the crowd into it, especially for the U.S. and with the World Cup being here, you're already going to have an edge. And then to your point, when you do those little scrappy things to kind of make up for some deficiencies, if you have any, like press a team and try to get them to make mistakes to turn the ball over to you, yeah, that can move you, you know, up a little bit, up a notch from like 16 to 12 maybe in the way that you play on the field.
Yeah, 100%. And look, that's just the reality. And I think what Pochettino and I would say Greg Berhalter tried to do this as well in the previous World Cup cycle. You're trying to get the U.S. to be a team that can go AC/DC power on you. Hey. They can do both. You need them to be able to be a pressing team, fight, be scrappy, be difficult, all those things. You need that because you are not going to out-talent everybody. But you are going to out-talent some, and you need to be able to, in those moments, be a better team on the field. Connect your passes, dominate possession, dominate where the game is being played. Sometimes slow the game down in those moments because you don't have to be frantic because you have more talent. I think when you're in that range of being like a team that's somewhere between 15 and 30 in terms of overall quality, you have to do both to climb. Because you're going to play a lot of teams that you're better than. And if you make it a scrappy game against teams that you can out-talent, you're almost like dumbing yourself down in a way, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's like when you play down to your competition.
Yeah, and if you make it more of a 50-50 kind of game, because I think when you press and you force a team to try to make, you're trying to force mistakes and you do that, you make the game more of a 50-50 toss-up. But if you're the better team, you don't want it to be a toss-up. You just want to be the better team.
Yeah, you
need
to
be able
to
play that way too. Yeah, you got to have that. So Pochettino's got to have a team that can flip that switch and do both. And I think he's getting closer and closer to it. I think he's done a good job in preparing this group, and we'll see how they handle things on Saturday against Germany.
Well, I mean, if we're talking about a build-up into the World Cup, then to your point, yeah, you're right where you want them to be, really. Mm-hmm. Like, you just had a qualifying game. You looked really good. You looked like where you wanted to be heading into your Group D play. You've already told me how well the U.S. are positioned kind of in this World Cup going into it. So which country from Group D could give the U.S. the most trouble, in your opinion?
Turkey, because I think they're the most talented besides the U.S. I think Paraguay is going to sit back and defend, and we kind of know how they're going to play, and you know what to expect. I think Australia, they're going to be vertical. They're going to win knockdowns. They're going to try to win aerial duels. You've seen both of these teams in the last 12 months, and you know what to expect. They're a little more of, they have one way to play, and that's what they're going to do. Turkey is a little more unpredictable because they do have, I think, some top-tier talent in that team. They also don't have a lot of experience in these kind of moments. This is a team that has only been to the World Cup a handful of times.
And that makes a difference.
It does.
I feel like we're watching it right now in the NBA Finals with the Spurs and the Knicks. The biggest difference between these two teams is the Spurs just haven't been there yet.
Yeah. Yeah. When you haven't been battle-tested the same way, you haven't had to fight in the same way, you see mistakes that teams with experience don't make.
Mm-hmm.
And the U.S., look, they don't have a ton of experience, but you've got a core of guys like Tim Ream, like Christian Pulisic, like Tyler Adams, like Weston McKennie, that have been to the World Cup. They got out of the group last time. They know what to expect. And it gets you to, I think, one of the big questions for Pochettino, and one thing I'll be looking for on Saturday, is who's going to play in goal? Because it's been a toss-up between Matt Freese and Matt Turner. Freese doesn't have that World Cup experience, but he's been the better one over the last 12 months for the U.S. Turner does have that World Cup experience and hadn't been doing as well for the national team, but in MLS with New England, he's been better than Freese has been with New York City. So it's a real toss-up.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I wonder if experience is the intangible that gets it for Turner.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. At that point, you're talking about a philosophy difference.
Yeah.
Of do you want the experience or do you want who's performing well for you right now? But exactly what we're saying, sometimes that performance doesn't translate when you get into that big, big game. So for me, I would probably tip towards experience.
If it's a toss-up and I think it's turned into one, I would tip to experience as well. And I thought Matt Freese would be the guy.
Mm-hmm.
But Turner has been so good in MLS that I think he's taken that spot, and the experience will put him over the top. We've talked a lot about Saturday, and it kind of leads us to what's on tap, which is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of FIFA World Cup 26. A lot of things on tap on Saturday. First, Atlanta Soccer Tonight will be Atlanta Soccer Today, starting at noon to 2:15. We'll be live at Nofo Bruco in Gainesville. You can come join us, myself and John Nelson. We'll take you all the way up to the Westwood One pregame show with Callum Williams and U.S. men's national team legend Kobe Jones on the call from Soldier Field in Chicago. You'll be able to listen to that right here. My question about it is, will Pochettino use this as a dress rehearsal, or will he be careful with guys that he knows are going to be important less than a week away from the World Cup opener? There's not an easy answer to that.
No, there really isn't. There really isn't. We're talking about semantics between philosophies, ideas, and which one is going to be the most successful. I guess we're about to find out.
Yeah. I mean, do you go with your starters to play for 45 minutes and then pull them out at halftime and cross your fingers that they don't get hurt? Or do you say, you know what, I'm not going to risk anybody that I know is going to start and a couple guys that I want to see if they can earn the spot, then I'll play them closer to 60, 70 minutes. I think you'll see a lot of subs. I think what you'll be looking for is little pockets of chemistry, little pockets of cohesion, combinations, duos, trios, sections of the field where you can do really well. So
yeah,
it's going to be a good
sense.
One. It's going to be a good one on Saturday. Germany's a big test for the U.S., the biggest test they've played in quite a while. All right, coming up next on Atlanta Soccer Tonight, we're going to have a true intersection crossover segment. We're going to get into a random music question to start the segment, as we do on Thursday nights. And we're going to get into kits and boots and all the different things that are going on around the games this summer. Intersection crossover coming up next on Atlanta Soccer Tonight on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
More of Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The World Cup's almost here. So you know you're going to hear Shakira. I mean, the memes are already out there about, like, the World Cup every 4 years is like Mariah Carey emerging at Christmas time.
I mean, they're not wrong.
No.
Because this song slaps.
Yeah.
Like, I've pretty much listened to it, like, all day. And I have really, really been enjoying myself. Like, it's a great, like, theme song to, like, go out there and get it and fulfill your dreams. But also, like, when has Shakira ever dropped a bad song? Like, all she drops is bangers.
She doesn't. Yeah, she doesn't make mistakes. She,
like,
doesn't miss.
She could have dropped this without the World Cup being involved, and it would have been a banger.
Yep.
Like, you can't hate it. I love it. I will be bumping this a lot in probably forever, but especially in the next six weeks.
That will be one of the songs of the summer, and that
kind
of leads me into a very intersection kind of staple, the random music question to start the second segment.
Yeah.
If y'all listen on Thursday nights where we're talking WNBA, we're talking Hawks, we're talking Falcons, we're talking Braves, we're talking everything, and we will be doing that again right after the World Cup is over. The second segment always starts with a random music question. This one's easy. It's not purely World Cup songs, but there's always in the music industry, you start to look at what's the song of the summer going to be around this time. Because it's got to kind of be out by now to be the song of the summer, because it's going to take time to bubble up and all that. What are you thinking is going to be the song of the summer? I mean, Shakira might be the one of them for sure, with the major hype behind a World Cup behind it.
Yeah, it's looking like it. It's probably gonna be an Olivia Rodrigo song.
Drop Dead is huge,
and
it isn't going anywhere anytime soon.
Or what is it? STFU Janice is probably gonna be one of those two. I've heard neither, but I know they exist, which tells me.
That tells you.
Exactly. That tells me what I need to know. So.
But that's the thing with, like, Song of the Summer, you're looking for something that is universal, you know? I mean, when you think about something like the World Cup, you want something that is universal because you want it to speak to as many different segments of the population as possible. Young, old, male, female, rock fans, pop fans, hip-hop fans, you want to try to hit all of it. Yeah, you want to try to hit the country fans, too, if you can. That's always a tough mix to get all the way in.
They
but
got Ella Langley sitting here three and four on the top Billboard chart. So
Shoes in Texas is not going anywhere. That is huge.
So it's between her, Drake, because I said Janice, STFU, it's number one. It's sitting number one on the chart. So it's between Drake, Olivia, Ella, and Bruno Mars and Olivia Dean, it looks like.
Olivia Dean has been hanging around a while. I think that one is fading. I actually really like the Sam Fender collab with her, Rain Me In.
Mm, okay.
That one I could see being a big song this summer. It's been bubbling up for a while, and this is where we get the weird crossovers, because we've talked about how my TikTok algorithm has exploded since I've been engaging in the TikTok. And the, like, soccer TikToks, I want to say it's probably February, March, they started using that song for, like, highlight compilations. Everybody did. Clubs
were doing
it.
Yeah, TikTok is a great indicator of what's next up.
Yeah, and that song was there for me way before radio picked it up. Here, I think it was bigger in Europe and it already caught in England. So That's one I could see. Olivia Dean, So Easy to Fall in Love is the one right now that's been around top one, yeah. or number one at top 40. Olivia Rodrigo with her album coming out next week, I think is going to be hard to beat.
Yeah, they love them, so Olivia Rodrigo. I don't blame them.
The two songs from the album that I've heard are both great, and Drop Dead is, like, it could be that song, like Espresso was for Sabrina Carpenter, and I mean, you think back to summer songs, like, they all kind of have a certain vibe.
I mean, she stole the summer with Driver's License.
Yeah.
That was like a mid-tempo,
that's
like,
a hard one to steal the
crier,
summer with,
right?
And she got
and
it.
She completely stole it, so... It's on the table for Olivia Rodrigo, especially when now that she's in her new wave sound. But I do think it's interesting that there are three songs in like the top 15 that or top 20 that are set in a location.
Huh.
There's Boston by Stella Lefty at 19. We have Ran to Atlanta by Drake.
Yeah.
At 6. And then Shoes in Texas at 2.
Huh.
I know, right? Interesting.
That happens.
Yeah.
I mean, God, there's been so many of those, like, place songs lately.
Yeah, you know, locations can give you all types of inspiration.
People have had I Just Might as one that could be the Bruno Mars, that could be Song of the Summer. I feel like that
Bruno's
one's
on the list.
Fading
yep.
a little bit. It's going to be interesting, and I think what's going to be weird this summer, and I'll be keeping an eye on it, is, okay, you start to get into the World Cup, and everybody's going to be making World Cup TikToks and World Cup stories on Instagram and using songs. Mm-hmm. What songs do they pick there? Because in the past, this was all radio. Further back, it was, or more recently, it was MTV that would affect it. Now, what songs are people going to use for their TikToks? What songs are people going to use for their Instagram videos? And with World Cup, what songs are they going to pick for those highlight reels and those, like, going to the stadium reels and that kind of stuff?
I think you're going to see a mix of old and new.
Yeah.
In that case, but TikTok is really going to dictate what the big sound is, which is crazy, right? Because you're going to find it on TikTok and everybody's going to use it, but it's really going to dictate the sounds that people use. Like, there's been so many times over the past 3 years, I know that I've said, that's a TikTok song.
Because
It's on the radio or I'm hearing it in the store or whatever. And I'm like, ain't that a TikTok song?
Yeah. I know that from TikTok.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
That would rein me in was that. I was like, this isn't out as a single. Like, what? Where is this coming from? What is this? Oh, now it's out as a single. Okay.
Right. Like, I think SZA, they had picked up Blonde. Like, TikTok had picked up Blonde like it was a single before it had even reached radio. Like, Blind was already old before it hit radio because TikTok had spun it like crazy.
That's the
weird
balance.
And I was like, oh, that's SZA? Because I didn't even know what it was yet.
Right. That's what's crazy about it. And see, with my TikTok and with it being soccer related, I'll get global stuff. And this will bring us back to World Cup. There's a streamer in Argentina. I talked about this on the stoppage time portion of the show earlier in the week. There's a streamer in Argentina, kind of like a podcast host, but he does a show, I think, on Twitch. And he decided to pick the player that was the least known player in the World Cup. And he found Tim Payne, who's a fullback for New Zealand and had like 4,000 Instagram followers. And he told all of his viewers, all of his followers, and he's massively popular, go follow this guy. He's our guy. And this guy wakes up in New Zealand with all these messages in Spanish from Argentina. Like, what is happening? Now they're making songs for Tim Payne.
Wow.
One of the songs of the summer in Argentina is going to be a Tim Payne song about a New Zealand fullback who now, in all the craziness, there's a club in Argentina that wants to sign him. He might go play in Argentina and be a massive celebrity in Argentina because of TikTok and a streamer.
But those are the type of amazing stories you get doing the Olympics or World Cups or stuff like this. It's like, I know he woke up like, what is happening?
If you're from New Zealand and you start getting these messages in Spanish and you don't speak Spanish at all, luckily his girlfriend did, so she was able to help with it. And he's been like all into it and had fun with it. And it's been a really fun little story, a little sidebar. But yeah, Tim Payne, a New Zealand fullback, is massive in Argentina. Multiple songs being made for Tim Payne. So we'll see where that goes. All right, we got to get into kits of the tournament because everybody's trying to take our money. Everybody's putting out all these really good kits. I did have to give in and get a new Argentina kit. I told you I was going to. The Thiago Almada number 16 Argentina kit is on the way. That was my big one this summer. What kits are you attracted to? What kits are you liking?
Well, let's see. I have two in my cart right now, two goalkeeper kits. I have USA and I have Nigeria.
Okay. Nigeria didn't qualify, unfortunately.
And tears.
It's a shame because you missed out on, usually Nigeria really delivers on the kits. Jamaica delivers on the kits. And they did great kits this cycle, but they didn't make it to the World Cup. The goalkeeper kit is a whole different thing. That's a subset of the soccer kit culture.
Oh, I love that. Of course, I'm always going to find the underground subculture to join because I am not all
surprised.
In.
You had something about Mexico as well.
Yes. So Mexico, their third kit, if you will, was in conjunction with a company called where is it? It is.
I think they're wearing all of their kits. Like, they're wearing each one in their three group games.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. So Adidas Originals and Someone Somewhere combined together to create this third jersey that is, like, hand-stitched and woven by the Mexican aristas that come together that do these textile type of fabrics. And clothing. And so this is the most expensive, I believe, Mexican jersey you can get. There's all type of details in it. I believe it's beaded and threaded and all type of stuff going on there. And it's made by the women of Mexico.
That's cool. They nailed it with all their kits this time around. The regular home kit with the Aztec designs is so cool. I love that they leaned into that. The one that is the other team that I think has really killed it this time is Japan. Both of their kits, their home and away, are beautiful.
I'm looking at the long sleeve jersey. Now they actually brought back the throwback 93 too.
Yep, I like that throwback.
Yeah, it looks amazing.
The one that a lot of people are upset about is Curaçao because the away kit, which I loved, the yellow one with red, green, and orange in the three stripes. So it's a yellow kit, it's very colorful. The yellow is kind of plain, but then you get the red, green, orange on a yellow kit. Sounds weird, but it looks great. They're not set to wear that unless they get out of the group stage.
Oh, wow.
That's their second kit, and they're set to wear their primary kit in every game. So that's a little bit of a shame.
Yeah, it's almost like they're using it as like an incentive or something to get to the next round.
Yeah.
You want to put the cool kit on.
What do you think about the U.S. kits? The red and white stripes, horizontal, and the really dark, I think it's technically dark blue, dark navy. I don't think it's like black.
A super dark navy.
Yeah.
And this is the entire jersey is drenched in it, if you guys haven't seen it. And then there's like a red piping on the sides of it. I have been to Kids Foot Locker about 7 times looking at this jersey. I'm trying to pull the trigger. It's $85 for kids' jerseys. Just so, but okay, I'm going to stop complaining.
Which one do you like better?
At some point. I think I actually like the super dark navy with the reflective stars.
Yep. That's the one I opted
for. And the red piping on the side.
Yeah.
I think I prefer that one. I would get that one before I got the stripes, the wavy stripes. I do kind of like the wavy stripes, but I think I like the stripes as the shorts better because I saw the shorts when Team USA played Senegal last week.
Yeah.
And I was like, the kid looks really good on the field.
It did. It won me over a little bit there because I didn't like just the shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see it in action with the full kit,
it's
pretty good. I wish they had went with the previous way they did this idea with just almost like the Where's Waldo, like just the hoops instead of the waviness. The waviness is a little bit much for me. It's still good. I like the second kit better.
Yeah.
Agreed. I really like that.
I don't know why. I really, really like that dark blue.
Yeah.
Before we get out of here, we got to talk about the Adidas Original. Adidas Originals all over the place this World Cup.
Yeah, they're killing it.
Adidas Originals Thrasher combination, not just kit, collection. We have shoes. We have T-shirts. We have sweatshirts. We have pants. We have hoodies. We have bucket caps that Jason's not going to buy.
I'm not going to
get. There's so much here.
I'm not a bucket cap fan. I'm not going to pull that one off. But yeah, they killed it with Argentina and Thrasher, which is, if you don't know Thrasher, it's a skateboarding brand. They did a kind of knockoff of the 94 style blue jersey with like the diamonds with Thrasher on the front. That's cool. I like the shoes that they did with it.
Yeah.
I really like from like the overall, like the whole package of what they did. Mm-hmm. I like that they had some stuff on the high end, but then the t-shirts are, look, they're $40, which is a little high for a t-shirt, but that's not bad. And it's a cool t-shirt.
Yeah.
They did two different colors of that.
Two different colors of that one.
I like
the drawn on t-shirt.
I like that one. Yeah. If you're one of these like soccer and Argentina and skateboard crossover,
right,
which is actually pretty big, that's going to be the shirt you grab.
Because that's what I like about this collab. You definitely get the soccer influence of it, but the skateboard influence is not lost at all here. It's front and center. And I especially love the Argentina Thrasher chinos they got down here with the double knees.
Yeah. If I get anything out of it, it's probably going to be the shoes.
I do like these.
I like
these Glen Burns. They're nice. They're clean.
I like those. I like Adidas going into that clean, classic kind of look. Everybody's trying to take our money.
One more before we get out of here. As we know, Jordan Brand has been given Brazil, and they have been given Brazil top-notch treatment.
I'm still mad about this. They should be with the U.S.
I know. They have some pretty good just plain T-shirts here. It's kind of like graffiti style, where you see the big goal going across the top with the cleats kicking the ball. It's actually really cool looking if you just want something kind of, you know, avant-garde and not quite traditional, but still soccer and ready for World Cup. That's a nice option.
They pulled off a really hard thing to do, which is to go into a country like Brazil that is uber traditional soccer style, at least in the fashion sense. And they went there, and they went in a different direction with it. And I think, in general, people are on board. And it's gone over really well. I think at first, when they were talking about doing stuff with red, that did not go over well.
Yeah.
But once they got the color ways the way that they wanted, they've won people over. I think they did a really good job with it. And I'm hoping that Jordan Brand gets on the U.S. men's national team and U.S. women's national team train here very soon.
Yes, indeed, indeed. I'm with you. I think it's going to be Nike to decide which one goes there or maybe national team can make a decision. I don't know. But the stuff that they're doing over there at Jordan Brand, I would love to see more on
I'm going to start lobbying my people.
Let's do
it. Jordan Brand. Let's go. Jordan Brand. We're down in Fayetteville now. We can come and see you. We can talk Jordan Brand up to you. Let's make this happen for the national teams. All right, coming up next, it's the 3-4-3, and it's a little bit different in the summer. Tonight, I've got the three youngest players in this summer's World Cup for you. Four headlines from all over the game right now, and three things that make me smile. Coming up after the break on AST on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Back to more of Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Getting pumped up for Atlanta Soccer Tonight for the World Cup. We're 1 week in, almost done with 1 week. We'll be every night between now and July 19th. World Cup final, the big conclusion to all of this is going to be down at the New Brewhouse Cafe in South Downtown all day, and we will finish off the day with an 8 to 11 p.m. show to recap the World Cup final. But y'all know how AST ends. It's the 3-4-3. At least ends on the radio. After you're done here, when you're listening to us on the radio live or listening on the Odyssey app, jump on over to the 92.9 The Game YouTube page. We'll have a little bit of stoppage time. Me and Noel take some questions. We'll talk about some of the things from today in a little more detail. We'll dig deeper into a few things. And I've got one of my headlines in the 3-4-3 that we're probably going to have to dive deeper into in stoppage time. All right, 3-4-3 tonight. It's brought to you by Ford. Visit your local Ford dealer. The three youngest players in this summer's World Cup. We talked about the oldest last night. the youngest, Leonard Karl from Germany, just over 18 years old, 109 days past 18 years old. He's a really interesting prospect, very talented, has started getting more time. Kind of thought initially he was just going to be a little bit of an afterthought in this team, but he might be one of their impact guys off the bench, I think, with this group. Hugo Šorek from Czechia, he is just 4 days past his 18th birthday. He is the second youngest in the tournament. And Mexico, they've got one of the oldest players in the tournament, Memo Ochoa, the goalkeeper. They have the youngest player in Gilberto Mora, who is going to be really important for Mexico. A very talented young player, probably poised to make a big move to Europe here sooner rather than later. 17 years old, 240 days, so not too much earlier than his 18th birthday, but he's going to be a big, big factor for Mexico. Very, very important. All right, your four headlines today. Liverpool, they have done something that was not a surprise once they moved on from Arne Slot as their manager. They have appointed Andoni Areola as their new coach. And we'll get deeper into this once we get closer to the Premier League season, but Areola is much closer to what Liverpool fans loved about Jurgen Klopp, being on the front foot, playing a high-tempo style. It's not exactly the same, but it's closer to that than what we saw from Arne Slot. And once Arne Slot, like his coaching journey is going to be fascinating to see from here because he comes to Liverpool, replaces a legend, wins the league title his first year, which is very hard to do anyway, and he does it in his first year replacing that legend. You usually want to be the guy who replaces the guy who replaced the legend. Well, now you kind of do want to be that because the second year for Arne Slot was not good. Not good at all. He loses his job. He gets 2 years at Liverpool, wins a league title in one, and then is out after year two. Areola is the new guy. We'll talk about what that means for Liverpool kind of as we go. They're going to be looking for some different kinds of players, I think. Number two on the headlines, Japan. Their World Cup preparations have hit a little bit of a snag in Monterrey, Mexico this week. They were set to train at Tigres at their facility, but they showed up and the pitch was in pretty rough shape. Uneven turf, patches of dirt. The Japanese delegation quietly and quickly moved on, not wasting any time. They have moved across town to Rayados, Monterrey's training ground. Have not said anything publicly, just going about their business. The story took on a life of its own on Mexican social media. Tigres getting beat up in the comments a little bit. Monterrey probably talking a lot of trash. Japan will open the tournament against the Dutch in Arlington, Texas on June 14th. Then they come back to Monterrey to face Tunisia on June 20th. Not exactly how they wanted to start their pre-World Cup training camp. All right, number three. Noel, this one's going to make you happy. I got a John Texter update for you. That crazy guy out of Brazil. And this is getting really weird. Like, it's been weird since we last spoke about John Texter. He has completely lost control of Botafogo. They are they are basically in liquidation. They're basically at the swap meet down the street. Just for whatever, pennies on the dollar. The story that has emerged in the last 24 hours is that Nottingham Forest owner Evangelos Marinakis, Greek, who got into a fight after a Eurobasket game here recently, and it's not the first time he's gotten into fights at both soccer and basketball games, he has reportedly entered the race to buy Botafogo. So now it gets interesting.
One wacky owner to another. Okay.
Well, just wait. John Texter, he was removed completely from control because of this financial collapse. They're back on a FIFA transfer ban. There's like four or five clubs, including Atlanta United, who are waiting for money from this club. Marinakis and Iranian businessman Kia Jorabkian, he has been involved in Juventus in the past. They've made an official proposal to acquire 90% of the club shares. But here's where it gets complicated. Botafogo, under Texter in the past, offered cut-rate deals to Mr. Marinakis. Because John Texter and Marinakis are buddies. There was speculation at one point that Marinakis would buy up Texter's debt and help him get out of all this trouble. Well, one of the stories now is, this is just a way to get John Texter back in control of Botafogo and basically doing that, like buying up this debt, getting it probably for pennies on the dollar, although Eagle Football Group, which is now being run by the group that John Texter owes a whole bunch of money to, they're saying, well, no, you can't get rid of these shares. You can't sell them yet. We own the team. And John Texter's like, no, I actually own Botafogo, not you. And it's all a huge mess. But you've got Marinakis in this trying to get this deal done to buy it, which would probably help John Texter. On the other side of it, you've got Mexican businessman Gabriel Del Alba, who bailed out Cirque du Soleil back in the day.
Oh, wow.
He gave Texter a giant loan with crazy interest rates on it. That was how Atlanta United got some money on the Thiago Almada deal 18 months after it was actually done. Well, then Texter defaulted on it. So this guy and his investment group, GDA Luma, they're in pole position to get it because of that loan. So that might be another way, because the speculation at that time was that that was just a front for them to get control and have Texter run it. And
yeah,
basically,
very much a silent partner deal.
Yeah, and so Texter might have two kinds of setups like that, where basically he's trying to get a bigger and crazier loan shark to buy up his debt. It doesn't seem like it's going to end well for John Texter, but I think he's found a couple cards to play that I didn't think he'd have.
Legs will be broken by the end of this.
Yeah, allegedly, possibly, more than likely. Number four, we'll get more into Texter at stoppage time on YouTube. Number four, Brielle Mbolo, Switzerland's starting striker. He is headed to his third World Cup. Well, he was, until he was blocked from boarding the team's flight out of Zurich on Tuesday. U.S. authorities flagged a criminal conviction from 2018 that was not disclosed. The holdup stemmed from a verbal altercation in Basel. It was a case that only got to final verdict in April, so 8 years after it happened. That ended up making him guilty. He didn't update, I guess, his submission on his visa. This gets flagged. U.S. authorities wanted to verify the incident was nonviolent before clearing him to travel. The good news today, the visa came through. He is going to join the squad in San Diego. And he will be eligible to play, it looks like, on Saturday against Australia in Switzerland's last friendly before the tournament starts. All right, three things that make me smile. Number one, the excitement around the African teams coming into this World Cup, which it didn't look great with teams like Nigeria and Cameroon not qualifying. There was a lot of concern. But this week, when you get Cote d'Ivoire winning in France, when you get Senegal coming to the U.S. and playing well, even though they lost to the U.S., but a lot of momentum after winning the African Cup of Nations back at the beginning of the year. You have Morocco, who went to the semifinals in the last World Cup. You have just such a great story about Cabo Verde and what they have done, and they won a big game against Serbia here about a week ago. They won 3-0 over Serbia. So a lot of hype about the African teams coming into this tournament. And that's really cool to see. I hope you get another deep run like Morocco last time. Number two on things that make me smile, Triple Espresso is back. The U.S. Women's National Team, Trinity Rodman, Sophia Wilson, and Mallory Swanson.
Super exciting.
I know. Swanson back with the group. For the first time in, I think, 600-plus days. It's cool. They're going to play two games in Brazil before the Men's World Cup starts. They're going to play Saturday. So if you're watching the U.S. men's match on Saturday, 2:30, I believe that one's on TNT. It's on the HBO Max app if you're looking for the network. Right after that, the U.S. women in Brazil. I think it's a 5:30 kick. And then the U.S. women play on Tuesday in Brazil. The Women's World Cup next time around in 2027. Is in Brazil. So a good chance to test yourself against a good team, but also get familiar with a couple stadiums that you might be seeing. And you'll get Triple Espresso back on the field. I think they'll go easy on Swanson. It'll be a little bit slow to get her back in. She's only played a few games in NWSL since coming back. So I think she'll get like no more than 45 minutes in each game, probably around 20 to 30 minutes in each game, just easing her back in. Number three on things that make me smile. This was really cool. And this is the stuff that I love about the World Cup. And if you're not getting excited about the World Cup, that's your choice. Like, there are so many different things right now happening around it. We talked about Tim Payne becoming a superstar in Argentina out in New Zealand. This kid in Mexico, So he goes to the South African national team hotel in Pachuca with his Panini sticker album, which I'm all into the Panini stickers. I did not bring any sticker packs to open tonight. I'm kind of disappointed because I've been having better luck on these as of late. I got a Lamine Yamal card earlier today.
Oh, nice.
Yes. I don't have a Messi pack. Madison,
see, I know what that means.
Madison
now
gets one pack. First
and
pack
she got a
she
Messi
opens,
pack?
She gets a Messi pack. Aww. Yes, I was furious. But I got Lamine Yamal today, so I'm happy. The kid takes the album to the South African national team hotel to get them to autograph it. Every player lined up to autograph it, take pictures with this boy from Mexico. He got an autographed South African national team jersey. All so cool. The coach gifted him the jersey. They all signed his World Cup album. That's what the World Cup's all about. That's what's cool when we get these stories. Like, we're going to have Uzbekistan in Atlanta as their base camp. Chattanooga, they're going to get an open training session with Spain on Saturday at the Baylor
School.
That'd
be cool.
Like, you get Germany training in Winston-Salem at Wake Forest. You get these kind of stories, and you get to see these parts of the world through sport that you might not ever get to know about. And you're going to find a player, you're going to watch a game in this tournament, you're going to see a player, and you're like, man, I really like that guy. And you're going to follow that player for the rest of their career. Whatever club they go to, you're going to follow it. You're going to follow that national team. That's what's so awesome about this summer. And stories like that are just what make me so happy about what we're going to all have to talk about. I'll be happier when we get the games going. We got a week. We got a week's time till Mexico and South Africa kick this thing off. Next Thursday, 3:00 in Mexico City, we'll have Atlanta Soccer Tonight every day between now and then. I'll be back with you tomorrow here on the radio at 10. We will be on YouTube here in just a bit. About 11:00 is when we'll start for a little stoppage time. Saturday, noon to 2:15 from Nofo Bruco in Gainesville ahead of the U.S. men's national team match against Germany. Sunday, I'll be with you from 9 to 11 here in the studio. Next week, 10:00 every night as we get ready for the start of this World Cup. Y'all have a good rest of the night. Join us on YouTube. Enjoy the podcast if you listen there. And we'll be talking plenty more soccer all week long. Adios, everybody.
To our look at the world of soccer.
And Jason Longshore has it all covered.
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
What's up, everybody? A little bit of stoppage time here from the 92.9 Game Studios at Colony Square. Welcome back to Atlanta Soccer Tonight. Kind of a different setup this evening. Had to come into the studio. Noel will be with me here in just a second. And wasn't able to get everything set up quite like I would have wanted to have the whole show on YouTube. So I apologize for people who have been with us on the YouTube side of things. Almost every show will be entirely on YouTube. Everyone will be entirely as a podcast, including this one. So if you're listening to this after the fact, you're like, oh, it just sounds like normal. Well, it's been a little bit different. But hey, this is what we do as we're working out the kinks, getting ready for a tournament like this. So hopefully everything sounds good. It's just kind of a very simple, easy setup. We're going to chat with you for a little bit before we get out of here. The games have been wild today. Mexico right now up 2-1 at halftime. They scored. They got an own goal in stoppage time in the first half to take that lead. They actually conceded first. Now they're up 2-1 on Serbia. The big surprise is Cote d'Ivoire 2-1 win in France with Doué's brother scoring the goal, Guela Doué scoring the goal and doing the karate kick to the corner flag. Pretty awesome. Yan Diamande, 130, and thanks for watching as always, man. Appreciate it. Yan Diamande is fascinating, and yeah, he could go for huge money. It feels a little too big, just saying, just because it's been such a fast rise for him. I saw him play UPSL in Peachtree City when he was 16, I think. Maybe 17? I think 16. He played with a team, AS Frenzy, in the UPSL out of the Orlando area. He was part of an academy, kind of like an IMG in Orlando, and got noticed and ended up going to Leganés and into RB Leipzig. And it's just been such a quick rise for him, but
he is one of a handful of players that I did not know before I saw them play. And by the end of the game, I think in his case, it was at halftime, I was texting people I knew who were scouts and or agents or club people. They've all been different situations, but he's one of the few ones that I'm like, find this kid, sign this kid. And I think by that point, the word was already out that he was going to Europe at first chance. And he did. He had to be 18, I believe, to get to Leganés. And he did. And then went quick to RB Leipzig. And yeah, it's just a weird situation. And I don't know his full background. So these things happen sometimes where you get guys who come over here at young ages and are kind of outside of the system. And he was. To come through UPSL and to do what he did there and be able to parlay that into a big move into Europe is wild. And look, if he has a big World Cup, then it's possible for him to be that guy. If he has a big World Cup, then that price tag will be $100 million. And I think he fits what Areola is going to want. Played 67 minutes today, did okay, but wasn't one of the standouts in that one for Cote d'Ivoire. I mean, you look at France in this game, and Ryan Cherki got the goal for France. Olise started. Thuram, Mbappe, Tchouameni. I mean, it's not total rotation for that French team, and to lose at home, that's a big deal. Welcome, Noel.
Hey, I'm here.
We're just kind of making this up as we go. That's what happens on stoppage time.
Yeah.
So I got to hear from you, like, you like soccer. I mean, we've talked about it before on the show, and you didn't grow up with it like I did. But in a World Cup year like this, like, what is exciting for you about this World Cup?
I think the excitement of everyone else. But for me, history always brings me into things from all kind of places. And so Vice has really been good for me.
Yeah, they've done some cool stuff with us.
Yeah, getting into the World Cup series. I was watching one episode last night while I was cooking, and the 94 team made me laugh at their reaction to the denim jerseys that I love so much. I was like, no, Adidas knew what they were doing. They knew what they were putting y'all in, and now they have become iconic, iconic Americana.
I see some of, like, are the original ones, like the ones from 94, which they didn't sell a ton of because this was kind of before, like, that was such a big deal. I saw some on eBay for crazy amounts of money.
Oh, I believe it.
Amounts of money.
Yeah, that was one of the things that they were saying about this particular, well, about the 94 World Cup, was that it's interesting. 94, 95, those 2 years together kind of created this version of sponsorship, this large version of sponsorship that we see today.
Yep.
Like, between the victory tour with the Jacksons and then the World Cup, and them trying to get the money. I think they said they started with $8 million, and it was almost all gone by the time they was trying to really gear things up.
Geez.
And by the time they figured out the sponsorship piece of it and everything else, and the World Cup was over, U.S. soccer had a surplus of $50 million. And this is at the beginning of them trying to figure out how to turn this into a commodity. Because to your point, Adidas didn't even sell enough jerseys. like soccer in America was that much of a novelty. You were just trying to prove that it could work at that point. So you spent a lot of energy and time into that. And now we're seeing how much it has grown and how much every other event has taken from the World Cup.
It's crazy with U.S. stuff. Like, when they were with Adidas, and that was, I mean, as long as I can remember going back to like the early 80s, through 94, Nike got the national team in 95. It was hard to find Adidas stuff for the U.S. at that time anywhere before that World Cup. And even that World Cup, like, it wasn't everywhere like it is now. When Nike got it, immediately, like, every major sporting goods store, God, what was the one that we used to go to all the time? Sports Authority. I was trying to remember one of them that went away. Like, there's been so many. Sports Authority, Southlake Mall. Like, when they had, when you walk in and it's Nike U.S. soccer everywhere.
God, they had a Sports Authority across the street from the mall.
Yeah.
God, they had a
Sports Authority. I went to that one all the time.
That's where I got my softball club from. I think that's kind of a difference between an American-based company and a European company that has a base in America, but it's not really at that time was still learning America, like as a culture and what they could sell or whatever. Like US Germany had no idea what Ron DMC was doing with the superstar. Yeah. And we're not even that far from that when we start talking about bringing a World Cup to the US. So I think what Adidas did was more like hedge their bets with some of the stuff they put out. Yeah. And we'll put out a little bit and see if it sells and we'll test the American market. Nike said, no, America is my market. So I'm going to make them buy.
And they went hard with the women, too, because that was right at that time going into the 96 Olympics where you were going to have women's soccer. Mia Hamm was a huge commodity at that point, and you were able to lean on that and really push, because the women's side for Adidas, it didn't matter. Like, they did it, but they didn't put stuff out commercially. For Nike, they immediately put women's soccer stuff out.
Yep.
Mia Hamm had a shoe.
Yep.
That's the first one I remember. I wore them. I liked those shoes. They were navy blue and white. I love those.
And that's how you know that Nike is all in on somebody. They still kind of lead with that ideology of, if we think that he's going to make money, we're going to put the house on him. We see it with Wimby. We've seen it with Shai. Mm-hmm. We're seeing it now with the WNBA and the Asias and the Breonna Stewarts and the Caitlin Clarks who beat us today. I'm not happy about that. But you see how much today they've seen that the women's side of the game can grow, and Nike figured it out immediately with the soccer piece. And that was another thing that Vice kind of put me onto last night. We always talk about how much the W and soccer kind of mirrors each other with their fight for growth. And just like with the World Cup leading us into MLS, the same thing happened with women's basketball. We had the 96 Olympics, and then that led us into 97 and the birth of the WNBA.
Yeah, it's, you get these big international events, and that's why I think people who are trying to downplay this World Cup are missing everything, because we can talk tickets, we can talk like all kinds of different things. I can't tell you how many different events I'm seeing around the World Cup right now in Atlanta.
Yes, yes.
Everybody is throwing some kind of a party for the US games, for other big games. It's crazy. So like this idea that like, it might not be that big, stop. Just stop. But 3 billion people around the world are going to watch this tournament. Like, it will be everywhere. But it goes beyond that. I mean, the Olympics does this. We saw it with, you know, the U.S. women's team in 96. That started everything for women's soccer. Mm-hmm. It took a couple times to get to the league now that you have with the NWSL, but they showed it was viable. Mm-hmm. We saw it with the 94 World Cup. That started Major League Soccer. So, like, these international events are so important as touchstones for the day-to-day.
Yes.
You have to have these events happen that get everybody's attention, and then you can get the day-to-day going.
And that happens with most fans. Like, there's usually some crazy championship run that you've gravitated towards, or like some Linsanity moment with a player. And those are the things that brings fans to two teams if you're not like just born into it.
Yeah.
There's usually some type of moment that's attached to it.
Yeah, the trick is being able to then get those casual fans into the long-term situation. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something, when you look at this World Cup, if you're MLS, and I think the NWSL too. Like, I don't think the Women's League should be like, this isn't our thing. No, absolutely, capitalize on it. Just like MLS next year should capitalize on the Women's World Cup.
Yeah, 100%,
It's a big event that's going to get people talking soccer. And I think this is where, again, that soccer basketball comparison works, because I do think women's basketball is more different than the men's game in terms of style than women's soccer to men's soccer. Mm-hmm. I think just because you don't have the above the rim play as much.
It's the dunking.
That's really the only thing. You get other things that you gain from it that I love about the
like
WNBA.
Post play isn't as easy in the dunking because you can't dunk. Like, the lane looks clear when you get the ball, and next thing you know, it's three jerseys around you. You got to kick it back out versus being able to just go up and yam. So it is a little different, and change the fundamentals of how the game works.
I think there's a little more of a skill set that's needed in WNBA outside of just sheer athleticism.
People hate
leaving.
When I say that, but I agree with you. I think that the lack
the same
of
in the women's
the
game,
rim play causes you to have more fundamentals.
Yeah, look, there's and it's not being disrespectful in any way. Like, there's different physical differences in terms of speed and power in terms of male athletes and female athletes. So it changes the game a little bit.
Yeah, they play it differently for a reason. And this is a natural play differently, not like really a force. Like, you could see more dunks if they, you know, lifted the the unwritten rule of not dunking. Like Brittany doesn't dunk like she could. Dominique Malonga doesn't dunk like they could. They could, but I don't think that would change the game overall for the women that much.
It wouldn't quickly, like until you get a bunch of people who can and are.
Right.
Then
when you grow up with it, it's a different kind of thing.
Yeah. Right. I think women's soccer, like there are differences in the game. And to me, you get a lot more team play. You get more, I think, technical ability in the passing side, especially because you don't have as much of the speed difference where you get a guy who can just blow past people.
Right.
You don't get as much of the physical aerial game in the women's game, which I'm not a fan of. So I love the women's game. And I think that's why when you look at the summer with the Men's World Cup, the NWSL can capitalize on it. Mm-hmm. And I think they're being kind of creative in how they're doing it. They're taking a little bit of a break, which is smart. Like, you shouldn't try to play through it entirely. They're going to come back once the knockout rounds start, I think, early July. But they've also got some big games in markets. Gotham is playing a game in Queens at Citi Field.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be nice.
That's a big opportunity in a showcase game. I think it's I want to say it's the Saturday before the World Cup final.
I'm so old.
It's right in that time. I know. I had to think for a second on what it was called.
But yeah, that's going to be a big one. That's a big venue and a, you know, big market location.
Yep.
I like Gotham. I don't know why.
They do a good job with the branding.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see what we do here in Atlanta. And I have not heard anything. I don't know anything. Don't ask. I got no inside info. But what would you want to see? Because I feel like in most sports, you're kind of locked in to where it's got to be like city name or state name and a nickname. In soccer, it's wide open. Like, go into Gotham FC and people know what it is.
Yeah.
And they've created good branding about it. They went with the bats, which is kind of cool. Could you do that here?
That's a good question. What would we do it with? I don't know. I would have to.
I don't know where you go with it. Like we've had these debates, and like there's definitely Atlanta some things you can do. That's easy. I hope you don't go too cute with it. Like I don't mind if you lean into peach, for example, in the color scheme, but don't call them the peaches.
The Atlanta peach, yeah.
Let's not
see,
do
now,
that.
Now we're in the league of their own. And we don't need to take that turn.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. You could play into the Greek mythology of Atlanta.
Yeah.
And lean into that a little bit. Like, unfortunately, you can't go with the Phoenix mythology, which really suits the city, but there's a city called Phoenix, and it's just too confusing.
True.
Because I would love to do it. There's just no way to make it work.
Yeah.
People would be weird about it.
Yeah. It does sound kind of.
I don't know. I'm curious to see what happens.
Ah, see, now you got me thinking. Like a lot of the things that like we're known for that we do is like it's hard to put in like a. Like the Dream were able to do it because they had a specific goal. You know, they took the Martin Luther King, I Have a Dream speech, and they called themselves the Dream. So they was able to break out of their box of like having to be a bird at least.
That works really well. And you can play with that in a lot of different ways from a marketing perspective.
So I'm trying to figure out like what else we could do in that way to play with it a bit. But I do want Peach Incorporated. I think the Dream has done a really good job with using the peach. I think Atlanta United started using the peach a little bit. The Hawks have done a good job using it. Basically, everybody but the Braves at this point have done pretty good
Falcons
job with the peach.
Done it.
Oh, true. Might be a little difficult for them.
That feels like it might be a stretch.
And I don't see Arthur Blank putting out for a fifth jersey. I don't see that one. If y'all look, we usually have about – other teams usually have like a fourth more options of things to buy than we do, but I don't blame Arthur. We're gonna buy whatever's available. We don't need all them options.
Hey, Atlanta United does the same thing. There's
exactly
all the gear comes out for Atlanta United.
Exactly, and I don't see our owner changing his mind with a peach jersey. But I am interested to think to figure out where they're gonna go with that direction. I want the color, but I don't want the name Peach. Do not name them the Atlanta Peach.
Yeah, I'm cool with using it as like a secondary
like a
nickname, or a third color or something like that. Cool with them using the color peach, but I don't put it in the name. I don't think. I don't know. I don't know what direction to go. That probably comes out by the end of the year, is what it seems like. you're going to start getting into that conversation next year about players you might sign, mm-hmm. and maybe they get loaned out for a year and then come here in 28. So that's going to be a big talking point as we go. Atlanta United this summer is going to be a big talking point because they're going to be linked with players. They got to go out and make some signings. You got 20 games left right after the World Cup. You want to go out and make some moves and make this team better.
Gotta make some noise.
Gotta do something.
Gotta make some noise.
And that's the trick is, you know, we talked about it before on this show. You do want to make noise, but you want to make the right kind of noise.
Yeah.
Because there's this weird balance, and Atlanta United's kind of tried every different approach. You go methodical, you sign guys that you think can make the overall group better. Okay, if those got to work out, you still need a star. All right, if you go and you spend money on that, and you've had Latte Lott, and you've signed Miguel Almirón, and you spent like $30 million last year, and they haven't delivered.
Right.
Yeah. So you've tried big, you've tried small, you've tried kind of quirky. You went South American, which I think worked in the early days.
Mm-hmm.
You went Europe, and it didn't really work as well. I don't know. It's not easy, and there's more competition in this league than ever before to sign these guys. But you're going to get a lot of random players who pop up in the United States this summer. Maybe there's an Uzbekistan player that you see at the training ground and you're like, hey, let's bring that guy here.
Yeah, somebody's going to have to be on their best Alex Anthopoulos,
mm-hmm.
and figure out how to get those diamonds in the rough. If you're not going to be able to get the big, big stars, or in our case that we've seen, the people we gave the big, big money to isn't really making the difference that we thought they could make. Maybe it's time to go another direction and see if you can find some diamonds in the rough. Maybe it's time to, you know, get the scouting department together and dig deep, real deep, and see what you can find out there.
Find some of these teams that come to Atlanta for the World Cup, and then they're like, I wouldn't mind living there.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we've seen it in reverse in the Olympics.
Yep.
Doing the basketball. We was like, who is this Yabusele dude? He needs to be playing in the NBA. Didn't realize he'd already been in the NBA, but he definitely came right back.
Yeah.
The 76ers was like, you're right. He needs to be in the NBA.
Oh, I remember seeing him. I'm like, Hawks, get him on the phone.
Yeah,
let's go.
We were having that conversation. Like, that's somebody the Hawks could be calling. Like, that might solve some of our center issues. So, yeah, we've definitely seen it happen for the Olympics. We could definitely see it for the World Cup. They get to come and experience our wonderful, palatial, newly minted, newly paved, palatial city.
Yes, thanks to the World Cup. Newly paved. I was down in South Downtown today. It's getting there, but man,
Soto,
there's still a lot to do.
Soto has
I love it. I kind of like it. I kind of like Soto. I'm using it. I'm kind of getting there with it. There's going to be a brew house cafe down there.
Nice.
So I know Umberto and Michelle, and have been seeing the work they've been putting in on that place.
Okay, so I'm new to these New York LA terminologies we want to use. So what are we exactly calling So
it's kind of hard where the line is. Like, I think technically there was a line, and now it's kind of morphed a little bit,
mm-hmm.
because Centennial Yards has kind of carved out its own part.
Yeah.
And that's its own thing. Like, in the past, I think that would have been considered part of South Downtown.
So we're in that kind of like Ted Turner.
So it's
Street.
Ted Turner.
Okay, that's what I thought.
So Ted Turner blocks it for Centennial Yards.
Okay.
And then on Ted Turner, across the MLK, across down MLK.
Okay.
I don't know how far you would go for Soto. Broad Street is definitely Soto.
Okay.
Mitchell is
Mitchell,
Soto.
Yeah.
So Ted Turner, Mitchell Broad,
Street,
MLK, that's all South Downtown that I'm seeing developed right now.
Okay, so I think that's where I was when I saw a development for, and I don't know what they were calling it, but it looks like it's going to be like an outdoor park kind of hangout situation.
That's right next to where El Tesoro will be.
Okay, I think I just saw
that. And then there's a barbecue place, and then Brew House is like across the street and down a couple doors.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's a cool spot. That's going to be a great, that's where we will be for the World Cup final with 92.9.
All right. That means I'm going to get real acquainted with Soto.
Yep. You'll be into Soto. We'll be doing some Atlanta United pregame stuff and postgame stuff at Brew House Soto.
It's so new Atlanta. Beltline and Soto and all kinds of stuff. We didn't grow up with this stuff, Jason.
No, I can't keep up with all the Beltline segments. That's where I get lost.
Well, I mean, you know, it's supposed to go in a circle. So it is a large.
I know the whole gist of it, but like now each little section's got its own neighborhood kind of name.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
man.
What?
Yeah, it's taking a life of its own.
It's wild.
it's definitely taking a life of its own.
It's crazy. I mean, this World Cup has paved our streets.
Yeah.
It's forced a lot of development in Soto and Centennial Yards to get done. And not all of it's going to get done. But COSM will be up and running.
Yeah.
That's going to be cool.
Is this will the center be open?
The center, I think, is open for World Cup.
Ooh.
The Irish Exit, Kevin Egan's bar in Centennial Yards. And they're pushing it to be open for World Cup.
I think there's a Skull bar supposed to be open.
Skull is open. Okay. That's up more towards the Westin.
Okay.
I always want to call it Peachtree Plaza.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right. I think I passed it the other day.
Yeah, it's there. They're awesome. That's another awesome spot that we do some stuff with SDH. So, yeah, like a lot of development, a lot of things getting done, a lot of things getting rushed. It's a lot like 1996 with the Olympics. we're doing this. It's time to get it ready.
It's happening.
I mean, I love the mayor calling Atlanta a group project because it is. Yeah. Like, that's really accurate.
Yeah.
But how many times did you do a group project that you got right to where it was due and you're like, oh, crap, we got so much to do?
Well, you get the class, you're like, oh, we need an extension. And one person goes, actually, I finished it.
We need somebody to do that while we're all sleeping. Go finish all the developments in Soto so we're good.
And at MARTA, it looks like they cut it too close for the trains and the new gates, the new doors.
Yeah, the trains didn't get certified. They got to get the doors fixed for sure. Yeah, there's some issues there.
They cut it close to the World Cup on that one. But that's okay. I have faith in MARTA. I have faith in our collective group project.
Yep.
That we are going to get these things done. Mm. And do you know where would you happen to know where the open container district is going to be?
Soto is.
What piece? Okay.
Soto's open container. I think Centennial Yards is too. But I know Soto.
I think Centennial Yards is supposed to be.
So that park in South Downtown and Tesoro and the barbecue place and brew house. And I think there's another one in there. You can walk between them with drinks.
Nice.
Yeah, that's going to be.
I mean, that's about right because people are pretty much doing it on the Beltline at this point. You might as well open it up. You got to-go
drinks from COVID still hanging out. So
honestly, if y'all down there on Dominique Boulevard enough, down there at Centennial, it's like Mini Times Square down there anyway. You can get a snapping turtle and a sausage and a beer and a Bijan jersey.
Yeah.
And you can get your turnover Falcons chain all before you even hit the entrance of Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
One of the things that makes me so happy, and I think soccer fans from other parts of the country don't get this at all. MLS Cup is where I first saw it. Like the street vendors who've got all the Braves and all the Hawks, and all the Falcons stuff. They've got the Atlanta United stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
They've got the legit Atlanta United stuff and they've got the flea market Atlanta United stuff.
They sure do.
They've got it. It's part of the mix.
And they have whoever they're playing.
Yeah. If Messi's in town.
I'm about to say, yeah, we're playing Miami. They're going to have Miami stuff.
Because I always remember, like, back in the day going to Lakewood to concerts, and I was cheap. I wouldn't buy the concert ticket, the jersey or shirts inside.
Uh-huh.
I would wait to the parking lot.
The
in the parking lot on the way after the concert, I'd get the $10 shirt.
I bought my best friend. We went to go see SZA, and he got tickets free through another place or whatever. So vendor came up on the street. It was $10 to get the SZA shirt, bottom and medium, fit perfectly. We got inside. It was the exact same shirt. Jason, I promise you, it was the exact print on the front. It had the dates on the back and the place.
Wow.
It was the exact same shirt for $45.
Now, World Cup, I don't think that's going to happen. Like, the Olympics was really strict on the Olympic merch and the knockoffs, and people will find a way. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, because that mascot was on everything.
Izzy was everywhere. So that, like, it'll happen, but it might not be in the normal spots that you can find that stuff, because I think they'll crack it down.
Yeah.
It might be a little further out from the perimeter.
Well, you know, they'll set up shop until they get ran off, and they'll find another corner, and they'll set up shop again.
Yeah.
They don't miss no money.
It's going to be fun. Like, that's going to be the stuff that I'm looking forward to. I want the Atlanta World Cup bootleg T-shirt.
Yeah, I want the bootleg T-shirt. They're going to have the bootleg Thrasher jersey, Thrasher kit out there. Yeah. They're going to have it all. I'm ready.
I need all of that. I need some Cabo Verde bootleg gear.
Oh, yeah. I need some Cabo Verde stuff.
That's what we need to see.
Do we have a mascot this year for this World Cup?
We do. We got three, actually.
Okay, because Vice, they were talking about the dog being
Striker.
Striker being the dog.
It's like Dopey the dog. Like, it was so bad.
He was like, it's so American to have this mascot all over.
Well, the World Cup mascots are pretty much like that too. We got an eagle for the U.S.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
You got a jaguar for Mexico, which is kind of cool.
I like that.
And you got a moose for Canada.
That makes sense. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, you got a moose.
Yeah, the big old got Rocky over there from Canada. Yeah. Big old moose.
I can't remember what the moose's name is. They all got names. Might be Morris. Morris the moose. Yeah, like that stuff's going to be interesting with just gear and stuff because we're seeing all the official stuff come out, mm-hmm. and they're doing a good job with all the different team stuff. But there's gonna be.
I can't wait to see local bootleg. A bootleg Eddie the Eagle T-shirt.
I want a bootleg, eagle mascot. I want the bootleg moose shirt. That's what I want.
Because these are going to be the shirts 20, 25 years where our nephews and things are going to be like, you still have stuff from the World Cup?
Izzy became cool. Man. Everybody talked trash about Izzy back in the day, but Izzy became cool.
Yeah. And now people searching for Izzy pins and stuff. See, that's Izzy T-shirts.
There's the mascots. The moose, the jaguar, and the eagle.
Okay. They're cute.
It's not bad.
It's very Dr. McStuffin. It's very bluey-ish.
Maple the moose.
To get the kids in. Okay, Maple. Okay, makes sense.
Zayu the jaguar.
Zayu.
And Clutch the bald eagle.
Okay, Clutch. Because, you know, the talon's going to come out and it's going to clutch the ball.
Yeah, it's all right. It's all right.
I did a lot of work there.
You did. It's better than Striker the dog, for sure. They Striker definitely was cute. Upgraded.
Now he looked like a bootleg Snoopy.
Striker was a bootleg something, for sure. Bootleg Hanna-Barbera or something.
But it was cute. It definitely gave Jabba Jaw. I'm not going to lie to you. You hit the nail on Hanna-Barbera. It definitely gave Jabba Jaw.
All right, this is what happens on the intersection. Uh-huh. This is what happens on stoppage time. When you get both of them combined, it's completely and utterly chaotic. We're going to be doing this during games. So we're going to have games happening during some of these during the World Cup. So just buckle up. Make sure you're subscribed to the 92.9 The Game YouTube channel. Make sure you're subscribed to Off the Woodwork, wherever you get your podcasts, and on the Odyssey app. I'm back with you tomorrow at 10, then Sunday at noon, then Saturday at noon,
yeah,
Saturday, then Sunday at 9. Yep, I'll probably be on.
Yeah, you piggybacking us behind us all weekend. Yeah.
Yeah, on at 9 p.m. on Sunday, and then 10 o'clock next week until the U.S. game on Friday, which I'm on 6 to 8, and we will be at Mazzy's in Duluth for that one. So.
I'm going to have to pull up for that.
All the things. It's just going to be nonstop. Make sure you're following me at Longshoe on social media and you at?
At Ella_cool23. And make sure you have your, I would say track shoes, but your soccer booties on because we're off and running.
Get the Ronaldo R9, not cleats, but they did trainers out of it.
Yeah, it's like a trainer, yeah.
Yeah, they did trainers out of it. We talked about this on the intersection. Nike was listening.
We've been begging for soccer trainers.
Take the boots and turn them into trainers. Nike's following it with those R9s. So all the things.
And they look great.
Yeah, they killed it with that. Ugh. This is the stuff we talk about on intersection and on AST. So hopefully y'all had a good time. Thank you for listening. Be back with you tomorrow. Adios.
See you, people.
See ya.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.